is filled with warnings and the aspects of storms that will come into this world and into people's lives. You know what Japan and California and Italy and Mexico all have in common? Earthquakes. Severe earthquakes. And they build their buildings in order that those buildings can withstand, as far as they're concerned, the force of those earthquakes. The city of Niigata in Japan, they built blocks and blocks of apartments and condominiums, and they built those buildings to withstand earthquakes. And in 1964, an unbelievable high-ranking earthquake hit those regions. The buildings withstood the earthquake, but the foundation of the buildings began to sink into the aspect of the liquefying aspect of what had occurred underneath the building, and those buildings literally tilted all the way down on their side so that people on the top floor were actually able to walk down the building to their safety. You know, think about it. It makes a difference. Not just how you build a building, but it makes a difference of what that building is built upon. It really does. The shaking of an earthquake in sand can do so much more destruction than the earthquake that would do of a building that is built on a rock. You think Jesus knew something about earthquakes? You think he knew something about building? A building. He was a carpenter, you know. But he was more than that. He was the creator of all things. And there's no doubt in my mind, he knew all there was to know about earthquakes. But more than that, he understood and knew about human nature. He knew about us. He knew about man. He knew about our lives and everything else is related to that. And he knew that most people, if you will not build their lives upon a firm foundation, but upon a shaky foundation, and they continue the process of doing so. This is why Jesus gave us this parable and this story of a wise man and a foolish man. Both of them are building their lives. The house represents their lives. The foolish man builds his life on sand. The wise man builds his life on a rock. Now listening, if I understand this correctly, what he said, both of them heard the Word of God. Both of them had received instruction, direction from this book and how to build a house. One listened, the other didn't. The foolish man did not listen, the wise man did. And in listening, you see, isn't worth much unless you do that which you are instructed to do. The Bible says we have ears to hear, but we don't hear. Right? I mean, think about it. No one ever built a house by rolling it over and over and over and over and over in their minds. Right, Dan? Dan built a house on four wheels. You can go down there and have meals on wheels. But he didn't roll it over and over and over in his mind. He had to put himself to the task and build a house, right? And the aspects of it. But the point of it is, any house, no matter how it is vulnerable to an earthquake unless it has been built upon a solid rock. So what is the point? Jesus is concerned about you and me and how you and I build our lives. If there was ever a meteorologist, Jesus is the meteorologist. He really is. And in his book, if you will, in this book, he shows us that what is occurring is that people are receiving the instruction from God and how they ought to build their life, but they're not listening to him. They're not obeying. They're not following the instruction given in this book of how to build your life upon a rock. Don't follow its instruction. The only option you have is to build your life upon the sand. Right? I don't know about you, but I believe the rain is falling. our nation, our world is economically falling all over the place. It isn't just our country. It's Russia, China, you name it. The economy of our world is decreasing and decaying like you wouldn't believe today. It really is. There's no denying that. We're going trillions and trillions of dollars into debt in our own country. Families are going in debt over and over and over again, deeper into debt. More people are declaring bankruptcy today in America than ever in the history of this country. They are. The rain's falling. You think of the floods in Louisiana. You think of the destruction that those floods have and how they wipe out thousands and thousands of homes and dwellings and even take lives. And the force of that water is indeed there. And brother, our country and our world is being flooded with that which is destroying us. Our moral values is going down the drain. And no nation, no people, no family, no one can stand unless it builds itself upon the moral values that is instructed in this book. And we have a flood coming, and it's there all around us. 256 million babies have been killed in this country alone. 256 million aborted in the name of women's rights. You think of all of that, and then you think of the wind, the power of wind, the hurricane, or the cyclone. I mean, the wind is powerful. When Marilyn and I was coming home, hit Cincinnati, I mean, it was a gust of wind like you wouldn't believe in a storm, and our car was a-rocking. And I was singing rock and roll. No. But, I mean, think of what the damage that wind does. Just wind itself. And just think of all the aspects that are in our aspect of life, lies, deceit, greed, false promises, and the list could go on. The wind is blowing everywhere today with lies and deception and deceit. All that is a part of what we see today. The storm is brewing, the wind is blowing, and the floods are coming, people. And you and I, we've heard the old motto, you know, when all else fails, do what? Follow the instructions. Follow the direction. I remember one time, you know, we bought Billy his first bicycle. And it was all in parts, and I had to put it together. Well, I just went to work. I knew what a bicycle was supposed to look like when it was done. I put the front wheel on the back and the back wheel on the front. I mean, I had it all messed up. So I had to finally go and read the direction and realize how I had built it all wrong and whatever. And that was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and Christmas morning was coming. You know how that goes, right? So read the direction. What might Jesus say today? He might say, why do you call me Lord and do not follow my instructions? Why do you say I'm the Lord of your life, yet you're not listening to me? You're not hearing me. You're not doing what I've told you to do. You're not obeying me in the aspects of that. You see, some areas in California, just 2 years ago, they had taken piles, steel piles, and driven them down all the way through the mud to hit solid rock. But it has the aspects of it is, of course, when the earthquake hurt that region, those piles snapped. And those houses fell. You see, no man can build enough of a foundation in his simplified way that will withstand the storms and the earthquakes of this life, unless he has built his life upon the solid rock. And I believe that rock is Christ. I believe that with all my heart. The earthquakes in you and I that we deal with today, I think the same thing has been done with the Word of God. I think man over the years have added to it their own thinking, their traditions, their commands, and forced in and added within the concept today. And if you're going to find the truth in relationship to the commandments and the traditions and the aspects of men, you're going to have to wade through a lot of mud to find the truth. You're going to have to dig a long ways through all the mud of what man has produced through the devil, false teaching, false concepts, false aspects, traditions, and you name it, and so on and so forth. It's easier for you to become a part of the kingdom of God and know you have the promise of salvation than it is for you to become a member of some denominational churches out there today. I'm serious. The way through all of that, to get down to the solid rock, to build your life upon Christ and Him as the foundation of your life. Remember, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. That's you. That's me. It's our lives. The church is people. And the gates of hell, quivering as it might be, will never destroy it. That's you. That's me. We're the church. We're God's people. And nothing but nothing can be against us if God is for us. Amen? So man's traditions, commandments, they will not stand against the vibration and the earthquakes and the shaking of what is happening today. You and I need to make sure that we're building our lives upon the solid rock. And that rock needs to be truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. So how about us? How about us living in the world that you're living in? This is 2016. We're living in a world that I never dreamed I'd ever see. Never thought my children would have to be living in a world they're living in. Never thought my grandchildren would have to look to a future that they're looking at today. But what's happening economically? What's happening morally? What's happening with all the lies and deceit and deception that's going on in our world today from the top down all the way through the world? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Huh? So you and I, 1 Corinthians 3:11. Anybody want to tell me what it says? 1 Corinthians 3:11. No other foundation can any man lay than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. No one. No one can lay another foundation other than that which has already been laid by God for you to build your life on. And that life is to be built on the solid rock. And that rock is Christ. No man, no person, no individual, nobody can lay any other foundation that has already been laid. You simply build your life upon that rock, upon that foundation. Jesus, as He Himself has warned us over and over and over, none of us are going to escape. We're not going to escape. Jesus said in this life, you will have tribulation. But fear not, little ones, I've overcome the world. You've all had your tsunamis. And I have no idea what tsunami may yet come into my life. But this one thing I know, sandbags won't withdraw and stop it from happening. Nothing I can do within myself can stop all of that and how I'm going to live through it and go through the storms and through the wind and through the floods of this life. The only way I can know my life is going to stand and I'm going to stand firm is that I build my life upon Jesus Christ and Him alone. No one else. So the example is simple. Okay? I mean, it's very simple. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and what? Acts on them. Look at that. I mean, aspect, the acts on them. And the floods and the things come. So we have both the issues, all right? Come on. I love buttons, don't you? All right? So the point is that hearing the Word of God, acting on it, obeying it, can be compared to a wise man. Now I want you to notice something. Where do I get the red button on this thing? Top one? It's a green button. Sorry about that. No, I'm not colorblind. It's green. All right. And the rain fell, right? The floods came, right? The winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall. For it had been founded on the... Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Jesus. Okay? Anyone who hears these words does not act on them will be like a foolish man. Okay? And what does he do? Floods came, the wind blew, slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. They both experienced the same experience of life. You get it? You hear what it said? Both people have the storms the flood, the wind beating against. One house stands and does not fall. The other one falls, and great is the fall of it. So don't anybody here sit here thinking, whatever you might be thinking right now, you better be building your life on the solid rock, because your tsunamis, my tsunami, we're all going to experience floods and wind and storm. But one house, your life, will stand if you build it on the solid rock. Amen? You believe that? Huh? And corresponding to the fact that you're doing what it says, you're following its directions, you're obeying it, etc. 1 John 2, 3 and 4, John writes and says, by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Right? The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has been truly perfected. Note that. The one who keeps His commandment is the one who knows. The one who knows Him. And you say you know God, but you aren't keeping His will, you're not obeying Him, then I don't say it. The Holy Spirit says you're a liar. Previous to this parable, Jesus had spoken about people who had and were performing miracles and doing unbelievable, wonderful things and activities that were active. They were very active. They were very, very active in the aspect of doing great things, performing miracles and etc. But they, evidently, in the concept of this parable, were not obeying the Word of God. Now listen to what He said. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me, on that day, God has appointed a day that He will judge the world. On that day, Lord, notice, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not perform many, many wondrous miracles? And then He will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Then He said, this. The wise man hears these words of mine. In other words, the only thing I can infer from that context is, even though they were doing all those great works, they were still not obeying the Word of God. So when you look at people out there and you see all these people claiming to do miracles, casting out demons, doing all these wondrous things, you better evaluate the fruit and ask this question. Are they actually 100% committed to the truth of God's Word? It doesn't matter how good they are and how and what they're doing outside of that aspect, because when we stand before God, we're going to be judged according to this book. You know that, don't you? And things that are written here, and what it says and what it does not say. Therefore, if I understand the parable, they were building their lives on the sand. What did you get? All right? Look at James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1. Oh, Lord, help me. My pages are getting so greasy, they're sticking. Chapter 1, I'm going to begin at verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, by everyone must be quick to hear. What? Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive what? The word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who do what? Delude themselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. That's what Mark was speaking about. The first thing you and I come to in conversion is to realize who we are. We're sinners. We're sinners. And until we are accepted by God in Christ, we're under the judgment of being separated from him eternally. Notice verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be what? Blessed in whatever they do. Did you get that? The reward is the person who hears the word, follows the word, obeys the word, God is going to fully bless that individual's life. Amen? So what's the warning here? Same warning. Many hear the word, but they don't act. They don't obey it. They don't follow it. James says that there are people, as he is writing, who hear the word, hear it, but don't abide in it. Don't do what it says. Don't follow its instructions, etc. What are they? They're like a person who looks into a mirror. Now, back then, a mirror wasn't like your mirror. It was a brazen piece of metal. And you really, in order to see your image and to see that little hair that's out of place, lady, you'd really had to have looked intently into it to get a clear picture of yourself. You understand what I just said? Today, you can look in a mirror and you can see everything, can't you? I see hair on my ear. Hair. Some of you point out the hair in my nose the other week, and so on and so forth. And you can see that very clearly in the mirror today. But if you was going to look today, it'd be like looking in that glass back there. And you could see your image, but you couldn't get a clear picture of yourself. So what do you have to do? If you're going to get a good, clear picture of yourself from God's perspective, you have got to look into the Word intently. And as you're doing so, you're going to see all the things that are out of the way according to the will of God, and you're going to commit yourself to doing whatever you have to do to bring your will into harmony with what the book teaches. And if you do that, what does God promise? You'll be blessed in everything you do. You'll be blessed in everything you do. So as you and I relate to this illustration and the concept of it, you and I will be blessed. God's word, obey it. God's word is complete. God wrote the book to warn us. He warns us over and over and over of all the storms and winds and floods and everything that can come against us. But if we build our lives faithfully upon the word of God, God says your house, your life will not fall. Will not fall. It will not. What about those people out there today who are building their lives on the self? Self-centeredness. Narcissism. All it is about me. What about those people? What about people who are building themselves and their lives upon intellectualism and what they know, not who they know? How about all those people out there that are building their lives upon pleasure and possessions and measuring their value for what they have, when yet Jesus said, life does not consist in the matter of one's possession. See, maybe it's one, and our life consists of one who possesses you. We belong to Christ. He bought us. He purchased us. We are His children, and we should belong to Him. How about all those people that are building their lives on status? Huh? Status. It's eating up our society and our world and how we can build relationships and not build relationships. When I preach in Sturgis, there was a denomination there that unless you dress just right and dress the way they demanded it, they would meet you at the door and say, you're not welcome here. Another congregation I know had downstairs in the basement, they had a section for the wealthy, a section for the middle class, a section for the high-end, the poor, and over here is the poor. And you did not interrelate one with another. That is status. Yet my Bible teaches me in the book of James that the kingdom was coming and was given to the poor. Not the rich. In fact, Jesus warned us that it's going to be harder for a rich man to get into the Jerusalem, into the kingdom, than a camel passing through the eye of a needle. Not talking about a needle as you. There was a doorway into Jerusalem called the needle. And for a camel to get into that, it would have to get down on its knees and literally crawl through the doorway, the gate. Point is, people, what are we putting our faith in? What are we trusting? What are we building our lives on? Because all these people are building their lives on sand, 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 sand. And when the earthquake comes, the life in their house is going to fall. But how will it fall? Great will be the fall of it. Great. I believe the storms may be gathering. I believe the thunder can be heard if you got any idea what the Bible. The rain is falling. The wind is picking up. I'm asking myself, I ask you, will your house stand? God's word is being disobeyed today like you wouldn't believe. All over the place. It really is. The foundation of anything that is not willing to glorify God and honor Him becomes really shaky. Things are going and may well come down. I don't know. But let me share this with you in closing. I don't want to leave you without you knowing exactly what God has to say to you and me. Amen? You got it? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and following, Peter writes, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, cast them into hell, committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, a flood, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds." Don't you feel that way sometimes? "Then the Lord knows." Are you hearing me now? Verse 9. "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly." Wow. "From temptation, to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in his corrupt desires and despise authority." God knows how to protect you and me. God knows. Amen? Yet we know his judgment is sure, right? But God knows how to protect his people during those floods and winds and threat of it, if they have built their lives upon the solid rock. "The Lord our rock, in him we hide, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, we'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm." Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land. A shelter in the time of storm. Amen. God bless you. I know that you and I have been blessed in many different ways, and God is with us. And if God is with us, nothing can separate us. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Neither death, nor principalities, powers, things present, things in the earth, things in the sky, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Just make sure that your ears are hearing. And when God's word says and teaches, you're obeying it. And if you do, you are building your life upon the rock. Amen? Let's stand together as we sing this closing hymn.